6 past 6. The federal government is pursuing its crackdown on tax avoidance, signing a deal with 34 countries to share information about tax dodging. The deal was done in Paris, where international attention is also focused on how to combat Islamic State. Parliamentary Secretary for Foreign Affairs Steve Shobo joins us from Paris. Welcome to Drive.
Good afternoon, Patricia.
First to tax, you've just signed this agreement, but what does it actually mean?
What this agreement does is a couple of things. The first is, and Australia really spearheaded this last year in our role as president of the G20, we want to make sure that where possible, we're cracking down on multinationals that are looking to avoid tax. We're doing it through a series of concrete actions that was spearheaded by the OECD and executed by Australia in its presidency of the G20. What the document that I signed does is enable the sharing of tax information between tax authorities in multiple jurisdictions, and it also provides that different companies have to provide common reporting of their actual tax information across jurisdictions as well.
Will it result in prosecutions?
Well, it may result in prosecutions if we find that there are businesses that aren't paying their fair share of tax.
Which we assume, I mean, you know, you've done some research into this, this is what the government does. Clearly there are businesses that are doing this.
Oh, look, absolutely. And what we've seen, and in fact, Angel Guerrero, the Secretary General of the OECD, made the point at the signing ceremony that there's been some additional 36 billion euros, so roughly 70 billion Aussie dollars, that have been collected globally off the back of companies now coming forward voluntarily is almost an amnesty period. And so, look, this is how we've structured affairs and we'll pay additional tax. So we are seeing a positive change in behaviour as a result of this multi-jurisdictional agreement. Australia, no doubt, will also be a beneficiary of this and will have greater transparency into the actual operations of some of those multinationals that directly affect Australia, especially where, for example, there's been allegations that they are able to channel some profits through low-tax jurisdictions.
On RN Drive, my guest is Parliamentary Secretary for Foreign Affairs, Steve Shobo. Our number here at RN Drive, 0418 226 576, if you want to text me, or you can tweet us at RN Drive. Steve Shobo, is there any figure or any modelling on how much tax Australia may earn having made, you know, having signed this agreement?
Look, there may be within Treasury. Patricia, I'm in the Foreign Affairs and Trade Investment portfolio, so I haven't got the latest figures on that. But look, what we do know and what's inspiring jurisdictions around the world to work constructively, cooperatively to share information is that we know that by sharing that information, there's nowhere left to hide for multinationals to be able to say, well, we'll channel funds this way or we'll have dodgy transfer pricing practices in this jurisdiction, all of which affect, at the end of the day, the bottom line and, of course, their tax obligations. So by sharing this information across multiple jurisdictions, by having one set of common reporting standards that apply across multiple jurisdictions, we know that we'll be able to secure a greater share, a fairer share, of the amount of tax that these companies should be paying.
Foreign Affairs Julie Bishop told the ABC's AM program this morning there had been no specific request from Iraq's Prime Minister to provide more Australian troops. But what's happening in this space? I mean, Iraq is clearly, the Iraqi leadership clearly is frustrated that there's not enough support being given to them to try and fight and combat ISIS. Is Australia doing enough?
Look, Australia is the second largest contributor to the support that Iraq is asking for after the United States. I certainly am of the view that we are doing enough. We, of course, are working with the Iraqi government to look at additional ways that we can provide support together as part of the collective of countries that are working as a coalition in Iraq. Julie Bishop, as Foreign Minister, attended a meeting yesterday of some 22 foreign ministers who met directly with Prime Minister al-Abadi in Paris to discuss additional ways that we could help. And what's clear from the Iraqi government is they're calling for more weapons, they're calling for better training, and we've seen some of the consequences.
But
where,
it also,
for example,
Steve Shobo, it sounds like they're warming us up for a troop request. Is Australia considering committing combat troops? Is that a live option?
Well, look, that request has not been put forward, and so I don't think it's helpful to speculate about what
might. Okay, but if it is put forward, is it something Australia would consider?
Well, look, I'm not going to entertain a hypothetical. We'll have to make an assessment if and when that ever took place. But at this point in time, Australia is the second largest contributor after the United States. We're certainly playing our fair share. We know that we have a brilliant level of expertise in terms of our military forces, and I'm very convinced that they are continuing to add a lot of value within Iraq.
There's been one shock victory after another for Islamic State. What Iraq and its backers are doing now is clearly failing. Is the commitment of Western combat troops necessary to defeat ISIS? I mean, given clearly the strategy that's being employed is failing.
Well, it's a particularly difficult situation. Daesh is working across territory in Iraq, Syria, and what we know is that, of course, they're not a nation state. It's a terrorist organisation that moves in a way that really, I think, has taken a number of people by surprise, both in terms of speed, but also in terms of their ability and steadfastness. We also know that Iraq itself, because of its convoluted history, isn't providing the resistance that perhaps the Western world anticipated that they would provide. So I think these two factors together work to mean that Daesh has had, no doubt, a degree of success that I think the West wasn't expecting. Now, whether or not that should therefore translate into additional combat troops on the ground is a very vexed issue. We've seen the consequences of having troops on the ground. I don't think that's necessarily the best way forward, but by the same token, it's crucial that the world plays a major role in crushing Daesh and all that they stand for, because they are an evil, wicked organisation. So we're playing our role. We're trying to work and equip the Iraqis appropriately. Of course, we're also an active participant in airstrike operations.
Australia's chief diplomat has admitted in Senate estimates today that the PNG government was not told of Australia's plans to open a diplomatic post in Bougainville. This is despite the foreign minister on this program insisting discussions had been ongoing. What's going on?
Well, from an Australian perspective, we have certainly provided and had ongoing discussions with authorities in PNG in relation to the opening of that diplomatic post. In that respect, Australia continues to work in a very constructive way with PNG. It is, of course, the fact that Australia is the most significant donor of support and assistance to PNG. And look, fundamentally, these issues come and they go. That's not to in any way diminish the different views that are being taken, but it is to recognise the fact that Australia and PNG remain firm friends, and I'm very confident that this matter will be resolved.
Steve Shobo, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure. Thanks, Patricia.
That's Parliamentary Secretary for Foreign Affairs, Steve Shobo. You're listening to RN Drive with me, Patricia Carvelis. You can text us on 0418 226 576 or tweet us at RN Drive.